Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Chaf. That's Hashem, the last daf in the first parak of Masech Shabbos and the first daf of the second parak of Masech Shabbos. So let's see the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Yutas and Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ein solen basar vetzel beitza ala kadeshi yetzul mibod yom. Person should not roast meat or an onion or an egg unless there's enough time for the item to become roasted before Shabbos begins. This does not have any machlokas b'sham b'shilal. The Mishnah just leaves this as something that's kuli almalo pligi. That these things, if you're going to roast them, there has to be enough time for them to get fully roasted mi ba'od yom. Second halacha, ein nosin pas latanurim chashecha v'lo charara al gabe gachalim elegatei shikrumu panam mi ba'od yom. You can't put bread into the oven when it's almost Shabbos, nor a wafer on top of coals to bake it, unless there's enough time for the crust to develop miba odyom, that it has to already be able to crust over before Shabbos starts, so it has to be pretty much baked before Shabbos starts. Rabbi Elazar Omer, kidei sheyikra matachton hatachton shalad, that the crust has to develop on the tachton side of the bread, on the bottom side of the bread. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly who's being more machmir, who's being more mekel, what the difference is between the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar. So, Mishalshlin, third halacha, Mishalshlin is a Pesach b'tanorim chashecha. Even though we just said in the Reish of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to roast meat miba'od yom, unless there's enough time for the meat to become fully roasted miba'od yom, there is an exception. If you need to roast your Korban Pesach, so you're allowed to be Mishalshl the Korban Pesach in the oven. You're allowed to put the Korban Pesach into the oven and allow it to continue to roast, even though it's going to roast into Shabbos. It's talking about when the first day of Pesach falls out on Shabbos, when Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos. If you look at Rashi, Mishalshlin es haPesach, v'hu nitzla v'holich mishatech shach, and it will continue to roast on its own after it gets dark. V'af agav d'bialma ein solen k'damran, hachashari, even though we just said that generally speaking you're not allowed to roast miba unless it has time to fully roast miba odyom, over here it's permissible. Why? As Rashi is quoting from the Gemara, de b'nei chabura zrizin hein, because the members of the chabura that are nimna on that Korban Pesach, that are registered on that Korban Pesach, are zrizin umad kri adadi. They're careful and they'll remind each other, and therefore you have no reason to be concerned that they're going to come to stoke the coals. Meaning, when are we worried? Asi luchtuya begachalim. What? First of all, let's start with the basics. Why are all these things asur? Why are you not allowed to put something up on to roast right before Shabbos and let it continue to roast into Shabbos? Because we're afraid that on Shabbos you're going to see that it's not roasting quickly enough. You're going to stoke the coals and make the flame a little bit higher. So the same with the bread in the oven. You're going to see it's not baking quickly enough, and you try to adjust the flame to make it bake more quickly. And that's obviously an issur d'oraisa to do on Shabbos. Why are we not concerned about doing that when you're roasting Korban Pesach? So Rashi says, because the Bnei Chabura are Zrizim, the people who are registered on the Korban Pesach are going to be very careful, and they will remind each other. And therefore, you don't have to worry that someone's going to forget themselves, lose themselves, and go and raise the flame on the fire for the roasting of the Korban Pesach. The implication of Rashi is that they're madkriya adadi, they'll remind each other. The implication is that you need, that it has to be more than one person. That if it was just one person roasting something, roasting the Korban Pesach, then you would not have this heter, because no one's there to remind him. Rashi on Daf Chaf Amar Aleph, though, in Dibur HaMasech Levarim Upadarim, writes that Maduras Beis HaMokad, the Kohanim are allowed to light the fire in the Maduras Beis HaMokad in the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Shabbos, and they were not gozer Shemi Yechatu, because Kohanim's reason heim. And over there Rashi says, what do I mean, Kohanim? What does it mean, Kohanim's reason heim? That Kulam B'nei Torah, V'charedim, V'niskarim, V'lo Asu Lechtuye Mishetach Shach. So a little bit different. Over there Rashi says, the Kohanim are all big Yirei Shemayim, and they're going to be very careful, and they're Charedim, so they're not going to come to be Mechata B'Gecholim, they're not going to come to adjust the flame. So Mishar Mitzvah B'Alacha points out, you see a big difference between the two. By the Korban Pesach, we're not talking about Kohanim, we're talking about anyone who's Menuhin on the Korban Pesach. All of Klal Yisrael has to be Menuhin in the Korban Pesach. So when people get together in groups to do a mitzvah together, then we assume that the group dynamic is going to help out. That the fact that people are doing this together is going to cause some to remind the others if they see anyone stepping out of line. But it's nothing about people who bring Korban Pesach being fundamentally better people. Everyone brings a Korban Pesach. But when we're talking about the Maduras Beis HaMokad, which the Kohanim were in charge of in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's a chazaka about Kohanim. That Kohanim are Zrizim, Kohanim are going to be more frum about it, they're going to be very serious about it, they're not going to mess up. Rashi Maseches Eruvin, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, by Bnei Chabura, when he talks about the Nimnim al Pesach, he says, Zrizim Heim, the Kala Oskim Bekachim Zrizim Bechachamim. Anyone who's Osek and Kachim are Zrizim and Chachamim. It sounds like it's not even Dafka Karban Pesach. It sounds like it's even by other Karbanos. But also that Rashi sounds like it's a din in anyone who's involved in a Karban, not a din in Kohanim versus, meaning over here it sounds like anyone could be involved in a Karban. It's just the group dynamic that helps out. Over there he seems to say, no, if you're bringing Karban Pesach, then you are a Zariz V'Chacham. It's difficult to say, to understand that literally though, because just like it's difficult to understand that anyone who brings Karban Pesach is a Chacham, necessarily, meaning all of Klal Yisrael brings Korban Pesach, not everybody's a Chacham, so it probably doesn't mean literally that every individual brings Korban Pesach as a Zariz, but again, probably means what it says over here, that the group dynamic helps out. Now that which Rashi says that the Kohanim are all B'nai Torah, the Charedim, we do find several exceptions in Shas, where we find Kohanim who were involved in the Beis HaMikdash, who were involved in Kohanim-related issues, and were not such Charedim, were not such great B'nai Torah. The Maseches Pesachim, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells the story of a Kohen who was Hitzit Bebar. He went to look in a bar because a Nefel had fallen into the bar, and he had to identify, for the sake of the Tumah of the mother, what the Nefel was, whether it was a boy, it was a girl, whether it had its Suras HaVlad at all. And Tosaf over there says that Kohen Shota Haya, the Kohen was a moron, because what was he doing? He was risking his own Tumah by being my heel over the bar. So not every Kohen who's involved in Kohanim related issues is necessarily Rashi Maseches Nida on the same story, Kohen Ama Aretz Haya. He was either a Shoter or he was an Ama Aretz. Not every Kohen throughout Shas do we assume is reason, but with the general chazaka, the general rule is that in the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, they're going to be very zariz and they're not going to step out of line, they're going to be very careful. So that's why when it comes to the Korban Pesach, where it's not just up to Kohanim, we need the group dynamic in order to make it that we're not going to be concerned that a person might come to stoke the coals. Back in the Mishnah, the last line of the page, Yitzasun Beis, Umachiznes Ha'or B'Maduras Beis HaMokad, they could begin the fire, be mach is the or, allow the fire to begin in the Maduras Beis HaMokad. Rashi explains the Maduras Beis HaMokad is that, so Rashi writes in the last Rashi, Lishcha Gedolahi, it's this large room in the Beis HaMikdash, Shehakohanim Ischam Min Sham B'Maduras Eish HaNisekes Tamin, where the Kohanim would go to warm themselves up with a fire that was constantly burning there, Mibnei Shemahalchin Yechef Mal Ritzvas Shayish Ba'azara, because they were walking around the whole time barefoot on a marble floor in the Azara. That's cold. Kedamrin B'Zvachim, the Gemara says in Zvachim, since the Ritzba's Mekudash and Klisharis we know have Kedusha, so we compare the two. Ma Klisharis lo yedavar chotzeitz beino levein Klisharis, av Ritzba lo yedavar chotzeitz beino levein a Ritzba, just like by Klisharis, that you can't have a chatzitza between your body and the Klisharis. There's a Kohanim who decided to wear gloves were strongly criticized for doing so, as if they're not honoring the avodah properly. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza between your hands and the klisharis when you're doing the avodah. So too, if the ritzba is mekudash, there can't be a chatzitza between your body and the ritzba. So they had to walk around barefoot, and that was very, very cold to walk around barefoot. So they needed to go warm themselves up every once in a while. That was the function of the maduras beis hamokad. So we're saying they're allowed to be machiz nesar, little by little, to light the flame flame, the Maduras Vesamokan, even though the entire bonfire isn't up in flames before Shabbos, it will be Oches on its own. The flame will catch on its own for the rest of the bonfire as Shabbos happens. They're allowed to set that up before Shabbos, even though the flame isn't in its full force when Shabbos starts, and apparently we're not worried that they're going to come to stretch, to extend the flame. Ubegvulin kedei shetachlus ha'or berubo. But in Gvulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, if you're going to light a bonfire, you have to make sure the majority of the flame is already lit before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bepchamin kol shuhu. If you're dealing with coals, then even just a kol shuhu, you don't have to have the or on rove of it. Just a little bit has to be lit because it's not something that will extinguish itself, and there's no need to be mechata b'gachalim, so there's no concern that one is going to be mechata b'gachalim. Period. Says the Gemara, v'kama, so how much? What do we mean, how much? So Amar Blazar, Amar Rav, kidei she'etzol mibod yom, meaning how much, going back to the first halach in the Mishnah, that we are not allowed to put something up to roast on Erev Shabbos unless it's going to be roasted by the time Shabbos starts. How roasted does it have to be by the time Shabbos starts? Does it have to be burnt to a point where it's charcoal? How much do you have to roast it by the time Shabbos starts? Amar Blazar Amar Rav, kidei she'etzol mibod yom, kimachul ben drusai. You just need it roasted before Shabbos starts to the point of machul ben drusai. What is machul ben drusai? Rashi says, well, ben drusai listim haya umevashal bishulo shlish. Ben drusai was a bandit, and since he was always on the run, he would always eat his food partially raw because he didn't have time to wait for it to cook fully. He had to escape from the authorities, so he would wait till his food got one third cooked. Once it got one third cooked, he would eat it. So that's considered to be the point of barely edible. Machl ben drusai is barely edible. So once it gets to one third cooked, we assume that's cooked enough before Shabbos that we're no longer concerned. Shemi yichata b'gachalim. Chazanish says, well, how does one measure one third cooked? Isn't cooking a qualitative change, not a quantitative change in the item? It doesn't work that way, that there's measurements of cooking. How do you figure out one third? So the Chazanish in Siman Lamed Zayin says, what you have to say is that if the recipe calls for it to cook for an hour, one third cook means 20 minutes. 20 minutes of cooking. You do it by the time that it takes to cook, not by how cooked it is, because how cooked it is something that's impossible to measure. That's what Chazanish says. Other achronim, other poskim are cholik on that, and they think it's somehow you have to figure out, you have to estimate some sort of qualitative change, even though it's very, very difficult to imagine how one is supposed to estimate that. Also, Rashi defines it as one third. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Tes, Halacha Hey, seems to clearly assumes, that it's chatzi bishul, that it's half-cooked. Now the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish and Dalet Paskins, that we should estimate kichatzi bishul, roughly when it's half-cooked, like the Rambam, not like Rashi says, one-third cooked. And the Magen Avraham says, Mishum Chumr de Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins that way, because he's being machmir in Hilchos Shabbos. In Shulchan Aruch Rav, in Siman Reish and Gimel, he's noted like Rashi, that it's really one-third cooked, and he says, La'is HaTzorech, if there's a real need for it, you could rely on Rashi on one-third cooked. Even the Beis Yosef himself seems to waver back and forth. Sometimes he mentions Shlish Bishul, sometimes he mentions Chatzi Bishul, so the Achronim say that maybe for different halachos, we could rely on the Shitas Rashi, and for different halachos, we rely on the Shitas HaRambam. But that's a very well-known machlokas, very important machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, how we define Machl Ben Jusay, is it one-third, or one half cooked. Itmar nami, Amar Ravasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shu K'machl Ben Drusai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nachrim. The halach of Machl Ben Drusai is not only Nogea for Ilcha Shabbos, it's Nogea, this concept of Machl Ben Drusai is Nogea for Bishul Akum as well. Anytime a Jew has cooked a food item up to the point where it's edible, to the point that it's Machl Ben Drusai, a Goy can cook it the rest of the way, and it's not a problem of Bishul Akum. So you might be thinking, well, wait a second, does a Jew even need to do that much to cook it to the point of Machl Ben Drusai? Don't we Paskin, the Ramah Paskins, that all a Jew needs to do is turn the fire on. And even the Mechaber who holds that a Jew turning on the fire would not suffice. For Sfarim, it's not good enough. You can't just have a Jew turn on the fire. I remember when we had Talmidim over for a meal many years ago, when I just first started teaching, and I didn't yet realize that I had to keep all the Sfardic halacha if I have Sfardic Talmidim. So my wife had help in the kitchen while she was preparing all the food, and she had breaded all the chicken cutlets and turned on the fire, and asked the woman to just... to fry the chicken cutlets. At that time, we were still eating fried chicken cutlets a long time ago. So she asked the woman to fry the chicken cutlets. So the woman was frying the chicken cutlets. My wife turned on the fire, and I realized as she was bringing out the chicken cutlets on Friday night that all the Sfarim can't eat, that they're not allowed to eat I had to make an announcement. They're not allowed to eat it because for a Sfardi, it's not good enough if a Jew just turns on the fire. The Jew has to put the food on the fire. But even that, you just got to put the food on the fire. So what's this din that a Jew has to cook it to Machal Ben Drusai? Now this is talking about, let's say, the guy takes it off of that fire, puts it on their own fire. Meaning, in our case, where I lit the fire, or where I put the food on the fire, so the whole cooking was done by me, it's considered as well. While the guy is stirring it, that's not cooking. The cooking was done by the putting the food on the fire. This is talking about if the guy stops the process and continues it somewhere else. So then, only if it's at the point of Machal Ben Drusai, then it's not going to be subject to Bishulei Nachrim, to Bishul Akum. There is a strange shita, a very difficult to imagine, to believe shita of the Radvaz, that Rav Yosef Engel quotes in the Gilyonei HaShas. Rav Yosef Engel quotes, Ayin Shalz Chuvus Radvaz Chedek Alv Sim Reish Yud Gimel Shekasa V'zel Shono Uli Inyan Dover Nechel Kamoshu Chai Im Yesh Pomishum Vashal B'Shabbos. The Radvaz discusses, well, we know there are other heterim from Bishul Akum. Not only is something that's Kemachal Ben Trusai not subject to Bishul Akum, there's another halach of Bishul Akum, that anything that's edible raw is not subject to Bishul Akum. If a guy cooks water for me, it's not subject to Bishul Akum, it's edible raw. If a guy cooks a carrot for me, it's not subject to Bishul Akum, because it's edible raw. Anything that's edible raw is not subject to Bishul Akum. Would we say that it's not a violation of Bishul B'Shabbos if something is Nechal Chai? Is that what our Gemara is saying? That any time we have a Geder in what the definition of Bishul is in regards to Bishul B'Shabbos, that same Geder has to apply to Bishul Akum? Says the Radvaz, yes. Just like we say something that's edible raw is not a problem of Bishul Akum, it's also not a problem of Bishul B'Shabbos Mida Oraisa. Obviously Midrabanan, it's going to be Aser to cook even something that's edible raw, but he tainas that midoraisa it's not a problem. Says that Rav Yosef Engel, udvarav plia atzuma. What a plia atzuma to suggest such a thing. Umashikas of raya mehach demachal ben drusai eino muvan klal. His raya from our Gemara is not at all understandable. Deshama tam da bishul kamachal ben drusai nechshav bishul vam vashalachar chavle bishalachar bishul. The whole point is that in Hilchas Shabbos there's a halacha called bishalachar bishul, that once something is already cooked, so cooking it more is bishul achar bishul, which is not considered bishul. Once something's ready cooked, cooking it more isn't considered cooking it. But how could you say that cooking something that was never cooked, happens to be edible raw, but was never cooked, is not called cooking? Of course that's called cooking. So why is that at all no geya? They shouldn't be chayiv on the bishul just because it's edible raw. Then why isn't it a problem of Bishul Akum? He says that's a different din. Bishul Akum is a concern. Why did Chazal ask for Bishul Akum? They were afraid you're going to come to mix in with the Goyim, you're going to come to get too close to them. Yeah, so that's where they were concerned. If the guy is going to do something significant for you, he's doing something that's very helpful to you, but if it's something that's edible raw anyway, so it's not much of a help anyhow. And that's why we're not worried about Bishul Akum. But that's got absolutely nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. So that's what Rav Yosef Engel points out. This dafka din Machal Ben Drusai, an equation that we make in Machal Ben Drusai, the equation between Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos and Bishul Akum, does not extend to other halachos of Bishul Akum. Tanya, Chananya Omer, Kol Shul K'Machal Ben Drusai, back in the Mar, anything that's Machal Ben Drusai, Mutal HaShos Al Gabi Kira, Afal Pishein Grufu Ketuma. The Isra of Shehiyah, there are a couple of Isra Drabbanan associated with Bishul, there's Achzara, there's Shehiyah. Shehiyah means to leave something cooking on a flame from before Shabbos. That Isra of Shehiyah, there are two ways to solve that Isra of Shehiyah. One is to make it garuf v'katum, to take the flame and either sweep out the coals so you decrease the intensity of the heat of the oven, or katum to cover the flame with some ashes to again decrease the intensity of the heat, then you're allowed to leave something cooking on that fire going into Shabbos. The other way is to make sure that the food is already cooked. How cooked does it have to be? Just kamachal ben drusai. Once it's third cooked according to Rashi, half cooked according to the Rambam, then you don't have to worry about the isra of shihia. So katum is what we call a blech. We, instead of covering it with ashes and making the flame lower that way, we put a blech over the fire to cover the fire. If you look at Rashi, how he describes katum, mefazrim efer milamala kedei lahafik chomo, in order to decrease the heat, shelo yosef hevel, that it shouldn't add heat b'shabbos. V'zeh tavshel shukamachal ben drusai lo chashin nemesfashel v'alech b'shabbos. But if it's machal ben drusai, then you wouldn't need to do this. The Chazanish, again, another important chumra of the Chazanish, in Siman Lamed Zayin, Chazanish says, if you read this Rashi carefully, why does katum work? Because it decreases the heat of the fire. What do we use as a blech? We put metal over a fire. Metal is a conductor of heat. It spreads the heat. It actually doesn't decrease the heat at all. So the Chazanish was not a big fan of our blechs. He thought that using a blech the way Minog Yisrael, that pretty much everybody does, where we take a flat sheet of metal and put it over a fire and therefore allow a chalent to continue to cook on the flame, he thought that that was not a good idea, that that does not fulfill katum. Now, in general, once we came out with crock pots, so people wanted to do shihia in crock pots, but a person has to realize that it's a slow cooker, and therefore, very often, it's not yet at shlish bishel or chatzi bishel before Shabbos, and leaving it cooking in the pot would be a violation of shihia if it's not yet kemachal ben drusai, unless you make it garuf v'katum. So yeah, we're makel to use metal to make a garuf v'katum, to use something that's a metal blech. But at least we have to do that. We have to take something to blech the crock pot. So if you have the insert and the metal heating element and the insert that goes in, you need to put some foil or something in between the two if it's not going to be shlish or chatzi bishel before Shabbos, if it's not going to be at the point of machal ben drusai before Shabbos. We'll have more of that later in Parakira. Ein nosin esapas. The Mishnah then said you're not supposed to put the bread in the oven before Shabbos if it's not going to have time to bake before Shabbos. So we said, how far does it have to get baked? Till the tachton is crusted. So what does that mean? What's considered the tachton of the bread? The side that's touching the oven or the side that's closer to the fire? You have to realize it's not like our ovens where those two would be the same. The side that's touching the oven would be the side that's closest to the fire. They used to have a cylinder. The oven was shaped like a cylinder and they would stick the bread onto the walls. So the side that's touching the oven is actually, and the fire was at the bottom. So the side that's touching the oven was further away from the fire, and the outer crust was exposed to the fire. So which side has to be crusted in order for us to say that was put in enough time before Shabbos that you're allowed to leave it baking into Shabbos? The side that's attached to the oven has to be the crusted side. Now, is that a chumra or a kula? Does that mean that that's later in the process or earlier in the process? Says Rashi, the chumrahi. The side closer to the fire gets crusted more quickly. So when we're saying that you have to wait for the side that's closer to the oven to get crusted, we're saying that it needs to be more baked before Shabbos than you would have otherwise thought. So it's a chumrah, says Rashi. If you look at Tosos, toward the end of the top Tosos, in the Yerushalmi, it sounds like the side closer to the fire would be a chumrah. The side closer to the oven is a kula. The side that's attached to the oven is the side that's more likely to crust more quickly, to crust earlier. Others say it depends. Sometimes one side gets more crusted earlier, sometimes the other. It's neither a chumrah nor a kula. But yeah, those are the three possibilities. That there's a chumrah like Rashi, there's a kula like Tosos, or that it's neither a chumrah nor a kula. Mishal Shnos HaPesach, we said you're allowed to, even though you're not allowed to put something up to roast on Erev Shabbos and have it roast into Shabbos, Karm Pesach is an exception. So my time, we already saw in Rashi what the reason is, why it's an exception. Mishum de Bnei Chabur is reasoning, because the Bnei Chabur are going to be very careful. Halav Achilo, sounds like if they weren't reason, then this would be a problem. Then you would not be allowed to put up a lamb to roast on Erev Shabbos. V'amar mar, gadya ben sarik ben lo sarik shapir dami. But didn't we say that if you have a gedi, remember we were discussing the different types of meat, and which types of meat we're more worried that you're going to come to stoke the coals, and which types of meat we're not. So we said by a gedi, we're not so worried you're going to stoke the coals, because by trying to do so, and opening up the door of the oven to do it, you're going to ruin the meat. So shouldn't it be mutter anyway, even if we're not zrizin? Answers the Gemara, hasa mintach, hacha lamintach. One thing about the Korban Pesach you have to realize is that the animal isn't cut up at all. It's one solid unit. We keep the animal whole, and therefore it's not likely to get ruined by trying to stoke the coals. So the only way it's going to be mutter to keep it roasting is if you have people who are zrizim, you have b'nei chabur, you have this chazaka that the b'nei chabur is zrizim. But if you have a whole animal normally, then we are concerned that you can stoke the coals. When were we not concerned about a gedi? It was mintach, it was cut up into little pieces. That's where stoking the coals is likely going to ruin the animal, and there's no concern, even for regular people, that they're going to come to stoke the coals. U'machizin ha'sa'or. So he said, when you light the fire, you just need to light the fire in the Beis HaMokad a little bit, and let it catch on the rest of the way on Shabbos. So minani mili, where do we know this from? It's a very strange question, minani mili. Minani mili normally is a din d'oraisa, you ask. How do I know that this din is a din d'oraisa? Pnei Yeshua wonders, what kind of question over here? Clearly this is a din d'rabbanan. We're talking about doing something on Erev Shabbos, where everything is going to happen on its own on Shabbos. So obviously the whole issue is an issue mid'rabbanan. So how can we ask minani mili? So the Pnei Yeshua has a difficult time with that. He says that you have to say it's not the stuff of the Gemara that's saying minani mili, it's Rav Huna who's presenting his shita in the lashon of minani mili, that it's all Rav Huna. It doesn't sound that way because the Gemara's answer, Amar Rav Huna, how do I know that this is true? Because the pasuk says, Lo savar weish b'chol mosh v'seichem, that you're not allowed to burn a fire on Shabbos, b'chol mosh v'seichem yata mavir, avala ta mavir b'maduris pes hamokad. And we dash from that pasuk, where are you not allowed to have a fire on Shabbos? B'chol mosh v'seichem, in your homes. But in the Beis HaMokad, you're allowed to have a fire on Shabbos. So mask Rav Chista, ihach yafil b'Shabbos nami. If you're dashing from a pasuk, and you're learning that the pasuk is telling me that where it tells us the Isra Havara in the Torah is only in your home, but there is no Isra Havara in the Beis HaMikdash, then you should be allowed to light the fire in the Beis HaMokad on Shabbos. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah said you're allowed to light it, start the fire on Erev Shabbos, and allow it to continue on its own to latch on to the rest of the wood that it hasn't yet caught on to before Shabbos on Shabbos, but it does it on its own. According to this drasha, though, you should be allowed to light it on Shabbos. Elam Rav Chista, Krakiyasa, the mystery of Armu Bedar Mudasa. If you're going to dash in anything from that pasuk, it should be that you're allowed to burn the limbs of the karban overnight on Shabbos. That's what it's coming to tell me. The Kohanim's reason, Hain, and the reason why in our Mishnah you're allowed to light something on light the partially the Beis HaMokad on Erev Shabbos and allow it to continue to catch on to the rest of the wood on Shabbos is because of the concept of Kohanim's reason. The Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perches Halach Yud Beis has an interesting Ha'ara. We know the rule. Rambam writes and the Gemara tells us that ein shvus b'migdash, that there's no isur d'rabbanan in the Mikdash. So the Kesef Mishnah writes that's based on this concept of Kohanim's reasoning. The reason why they weren't gozer shvus in the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't gozer various isurim d'rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash, is that most of the isurim d'rabbanan, the gzeros mid'rabbanan, were made lest you come to violate an isur d'oraisa, lest you forget, lest you not be mechalik properly between one act and another. That's the nature of most. When you're dealing with zrizin, you have much less of a concern that people are going to make such mistakes, and that's why ein shvus b'migdash. It's not just magic that ein shvus b'migdash and the migdash were just going to cut corners. It's that there was no reason, they were never gozer on the various shvuyos in the migdash. U'begvulin kadesh etachos. So he said, but if you're lighting a fire in the gvulin and outside of the migdash, then you need to make sure that the fire latches on to the majority of the wood before Shabbos. So my Ruban, what does it mean the majority? How do you measure majority of the wood? Amar Rav Rov Kol Echad Ve'Echad, the majority of each piece of wood. U'Shmuel Amar Kadesh Shelo Yomru Havei Eitzim Menaniach Tachtein. Shmuel says, no, you just need to get to the point where the fire is big enough that they stop asking for more wood to help the fire along, to help keep the fire going. Once the fire is big enough that it's really self-sufficient, that's all you really need. Tanya Rav Chiya l'siyoi l'shmuel, so Rav Chiya brings a raya to Shmuel, k'dei sh'te shal heves olamei eleha, v'lo sh'te shal heves ola l'idei davar acher, that the definition of when it's rov lit is when the fire is self-sufficient, when it's going on its own, and it doesn't need any external help. Eitz yichidi, what if you have a single piece of wood? Rava marov avyo, so how do you measure rov of a single piece of wood? Up until now we said either when the fire is self-sufficient or when each piece of wood is already lit. But what if it's only one piece of wood? So Rav says rov avyo. The majority is when the majority of the thickness, the fire has worked its way through the majority of the thickness of the wood. V'amri l'barov hakefo. Some say no, the fire has to just be around the majority of the circumference of the wood. Amrav papa hilkach b'inan rov avyo Remember, that's Rav Papa. Rav Papa is always the one that when there are two opinions, he's the one that tells us to follow both, to be machmir, like both shitos. Kitanoi, the Gemara says, in fact, this is machlokas tanam. Rav Chiya amar kadei she yishaches ha'etz mimelechas u'uman, that you got to get to the point where the wood is no longer usable for melechas u'uman, that any carpenter who would want a piece of wood would no longer look at that wood because it's damaged by the fire. Rav Yudah ben Beseiro amar kadei shetochas ha'esh mishneitz dadin, that the fire just has to be grabbing on to both sides of the wood. That's already enough. And apparently, Yishaches would be Rov Avyo, based stud in Rashi associates with Rov Hekefo. So you see, that's a Machlokas Tanayim. V'af plishen raya l'davar zeich l'davar, eshnei k'tzvos v'ach le'esh v'tocha nachar heitzlach l'malacha. You see that once two ends are latched on with fire, so then heitzlach l'malacha, you can be able to do any malacha with it. An Uman would never want to have any usage of such wood, would not have any usage for such wood. Now what do we see? That there's a Machlokas Tanayim. Who's the Machlokas Tanayim? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir on the one side, and Rabbi Chiya on the other side. Two lines earlier, we had Tani Rabbi Chiya l'siyue l'Shmuel. Shmuel is an Amora, and we have Rabbi Chiya bringing a raya to something that Shmuel said. And then two lines later, Rabbi Chiya is a participant in a machlokas tanaim. So we do know Shmuel was from the early generations of the Amoraim. Shmuel's big bar plukta was Rav, and we always say Rav Tanahu Upalig, that Rav counts as a Tana sometimes, even though he was in the same generation as Shmuel, and Shmuel never counts as a Tana. Apparently Rabbi Chiya was around that time also, and was also one of the borderline figures. Maariv Chayes points out, though, that Tani Rabbi Chiya L'Suyu L'Shmuel sounds like Rabbi Chiya himself heard what Shmuel said and was bringing a raya to Shmuel, and he says be'emes matzinu l'kaman mem heisof amud beis Rabbi Shmuel omer b'shem Rabbi Chiya, that they must have conversed, that they had some sort of connection, that Rabbi Shmuel said something in the name of Rabbi Chiya. V'gam zos lo matzinu b'shum makom de Shmuel lamen min Rabbi Chiya. He says, though it is strange, says Maariv Chayes, we don't find anywhere that Shmuel learned by Rabbi Chiya. V'gam yesh lo nosafik im Shmuel hayapam b'Eretz Yisrael. We don't even find that Shmuel was ever in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Chiya lived his whole life in Eretz Yisrael. He says, "V'ulai b'yalduso im aviv shaya b'Eretz Yisrael v'lamad lefnei Rebbe." Maybe when Shmuel was very young with his father, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. V'az haya asya de Rebbe v'Rebbe ratzel samcho. But says Maariv Chayes, in Gantz Shas, you don't find Shmuel in Eretz Yisrael. Rav, you find going to Bavel. Rav started out in Eretz Yisrael, then went to Bavel. Those were the two great Torah centers of Bavel. And the Gemara in the fourth parak of Kiddushin says that Bavel is that Eretz Yisrael is Isa le Bavel in regards to Yichus, that Eretz Yisrael isn't anywhere near what Bavel is. Why was Bavel so great? Because they had these two great Torah centers, Rav in Surah and Shmuel in Narda. So Rav established the yeshiva in Bavel. You don't really find Shmuel much in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara though. Two dots, about 7 lines from the bottom of the page. Va'ach lefanim b'voaris. The pasuk says, "My ach." What does ach mean? Amarav achvana. It's an arava, a willow branch. Ushmuel amar etzim shenidilku ba'achvana. No, it's a reference to wood that burns together as a unit. Hu damar lehuman b'achvana. There was a guy running around saying, "Who wants to buy achvana?" So we wanted to see what was he selling. Ishtaka charvasa. He was selling aravos. So you see that achvana is an arava. Amrav huna kinim kanim ein srichen rov. If you have reeds, you don't need the fire to latch onto the majority of them in order to be able to leave it going into Shabbos. Agdon Srichin, because it's so flammable, it will just go on its own. You don't have to worry if the fire didn't grab onto most of them. But Agdon Srichin Rov, but once they're bound together, then you do need a Rov, because the fire doesn't have the space to grow when the reeds are tightly jam-packed together. So then you need to make sure the fire actually is consuming the majority of the bundle. Garinin, if you have date seeds that you're burning, ain't srichin rov. You don't need, they're flammable enough. You don't need the majority of them to be on fire before Shabbos to allow it to continue. Nasan b'choslos srichin rov. But if you pack the dates into these baskets, chosolos, these wicker baskets that they used to make, so that, and you're burning it that way together with the basket, then the majority of the basket needs to be in flames, because again, there's not enough space for the fire to grow and to extend from one to the other if they're tightly packed together. So you have to make sure the majority of it is in flames. Maskav, Rav Chista, Adrab, Ibchem, Stav, Rav Chista says, now I would have thought the opposite, that Kanim Evadron, if that Kanim Evadron, Agdal Lom Evadron, if you have a loose reed, so then they'll scatter, and it's going to be very hard for the fire to catch every single one of them, because some of them are going to be scattered far away. But if you tie them tightly together, then the fire will be able to latch onto all of them much more easily. And the same with the garinin mevadron. When you have loose seeds, they'll scatter all over, and the fire won't get to all of them. Nasam b'chosalos, but you put them in these baskets, lo mevadron, then they're not going to scatter as much. Itmar nami, these chosalos they would put in the fire, because the chosalos were disposable kelim. Rav Moshe uses chosalos as the paradigm to figure out the status of disposable kelim for kiddush and for tefillas kelim and for things like that. Chosalos are the Talmudic version of disposable kelim of a plastic cup. Itmar nami, Rav Kana, kanim sha'agdan srichin rov, lo agdan ein srichin rov. That when you bind them together, that's when you need a rov. You don't bind them together, you don't need a rov. Garinin srichin rov, garinim require a rov. Nasim chosalos ein srichin rov. When they're loose, you need the fire to latch onto the rov. But if they're put into the baskets, then it does not require a rov. Tanur Rav Yosef, Arba Maduro, Saint Srichin Rov. There are four types of flames where they're so flammable, you don't need to make sure that before Shabbos, the fire is on rov of the material. Shel Zephis, pitch, Vishal Gophris, and sulfur, Vishal Gvina, cheese. So the Gra says, nah, it doesn't mean cheese. He says the riff has a different girsa. Kira, which is wax. Vishal Revav, and grease. So those things are also flammable that you don't need rov before Shabbos. Masnisa Tana, Afshal Kash, Vishal Gvava, even straw and hay, also is flammable enough that you don't need the fire and rov of it. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim, Shal Bavel, ain't shrichen rov. Babylonian wood doesn't need rov. Mas Rav Yosef, Maihi, what's that? Ilim Silti, if you say it's the wood that's cut up into small pieces. Hashto Psila, Marula, Madlik, Sark, Shadik, Barov, Hayotse, Silti, Mibai. So if by Psila, which is cut up into, which is made out of Beged, that's soaked in oil, and it lights very easily, you need rov. So little pieces of wood chips, of course you should need rov. Why wouldn't it need rov? Elam Rav Yosef, Shucha Da'arza, it's a branch of an Erez tree, of a cedar tree. Ram Bar Abba Amar Zaza, it's moss. Those things are flammable enough that you don't need rov. Hadron Lech Yitzchus Shabbos, that's the end of the first parak of Masech Shabbos. We now begin a parak that should be very familiar to us, parak Bam Madlikin. The Mishnah starts out with Bamem Adlikin. What are you allowed to light with your Neros Shabbos? L'chor, the Mishnah should have started out with, there is a chiyuv to light Neros Shabbos. Should have told us that there is an obligation to light Neros Shabbos first before it tells us Bamem Adlikin. So the Shor Mitzvah Balacha is an interesting har over here. He points out that the Mishnah should have started out with the chiyuv Adlakas Ner, which it says on Chafeim Beis, Adlakas Neros B'Shabbos Chova, and then ask Bamem Adlikin. And we find a similar kasha at the very beginning of Maseches Brachos, Memes Ikorna Shema. So we say, what do you mean? Ahechakoi, what's the Tana going on? Where was it ever say that you're chayv to say Shema that we ask Memesai? So he says, maybe you could be Matari. It's based on the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos to Menachos. In Maseches Menachos, we find the halachos of tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, all of those things. Why aren't there Mishnayos about these major topics that just tell us that there is a chiyuv to wear tzitzis, that there is a chiyuv to wear tefillin? Why does it come up only derech agav in Menachos, where we have to discuss all of these sugyas? So the Rambam says, because these things were so meforsam, the Mishnah was for things that maybe you didn't know already. already. But these things people did every single day, and with some force them. So says the Shomer Tzedek Melech, maybe Hadlakas Ner Shabbos doesn't require a Mishnah to tell me that there's a Chiyuv Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. Every Jew lights Hadlakas Ner, everybody lights Ner Shabbos, even people who are barely from or aren't from at all, so very often will light Ner Shabbos. You don't need a Mishnah to tell me. So says the Mishnah, B'mein Madikin, B'mein Madikin. What can we use to light Ner Shabbos? What can't we use? Rashi points out, this is talking about what can we use as a wick for Ner Shabbos. Say Madikim lo b'lechtr, lo b'chosim, lo b'kalach, lo b'sil si'idon, lo b'sil si'amidbar, lo v'rokash al p'nei amayim. Those are all different types of wicks. You can look in the English. To me, the English is no more muvan than the Hebrew. So we'll leave it as that. V'lo, and also, now we're switching over into what you cannot use as the fuel for the wick. V'lo b'zephes, v'lo b'shava, v'lo b'shemen kik, v'lo b'shemen sreifa. So you're not allowed to use zephes, which is tar, or shava sounds like wax, or shemen kik oil. Shemen sreifa means oil of truma tmeya that needs to be burnt. V'lova alia, nor the fatty tail of an animal. V'lova chelev, or other fats of an animal. Nachma madi omer madikin v'chelem vushal, that you can use cooked fat. Nachama say, no, you cannot use cooked fat or uncooked fat. Doesn't matter, you're not allowed to use chelev for your Neros Shabbos. So lechesh shulchadar, so the Gemara is now going to identify each of the items that we mentioned in the Mishnah as something that you're allowed to use as a, or not allowed to use as a wick. So we said, ein madlikin lo b'lechesh. So what is that? That's shulchad arza. Shulchad arza, eitz ba'almahu. Wait, that's just a piece of wood. So b'mam nisa di'isbein. Now we're talking about the woolly substance that's inside the bark of the tree. So that's what we're talking about using as a wick. V'lo b'chosen, Amar Rav Yosef na'ores shel pishtan. Chosen is flax. Amar le Abaye vaksi vaya chosen l'na'ores, but it says the chosen will be l'na'ores. Sounds like it's not the same. El Amar Abaye kisna d'dayik v'lo naf. It's talking about flax that's beaten but not yet combed. V'lo b'klach, as a bekelach. So Amar Shmuel shaltinu l'kol nechusei yama v'amri kulcha shmei. We asked all the people who travel by sea, and they said it's called kulcha. Rav Yitzchak bar Zeira Amar Gushkara, that it's called Gushkara. Ravin va'abayi avayasu kamei d'rabbanu Nechemya achva d'resh kalusa. Ravin va'abayi were sitting in front of Rabbanu Nechemya, the brother of the Resh Kalusa. Chazi davalovish matachsa. They saw he was wearing a certain type of garment that was made from this klach. Amalei Ravin la'abayi hainu klach d'tanai. He says, you see what he's wearing? That's what the Mishnah was talking about. That's the material that the Mishnah was talking about when it said that you're not allowed to use that as a wick. Amalei anan shira paranda karinan lei. He says, we call that shira paranda. We call it a certain type of silk. Wait a second, how can you say that it's Shira? Don't we have a statement to Lagabi Hilchas Tzitzis that which garments are Chayav and Tzitzis? Shiraim and Klach and Srikin are Chayav and Tzitzis. Sounds like they're two separate items on the list, that they're not the same thing. Says the Gemara, two possibilities. Either Tiyufta, you're right, we got it wrong, that's a strong Kasha, or Yibayisayim, a Shira L'chud v'Shira Paranda L'chud. There's a difference between Shira and Shira Paranda. Now, what's Chayav and Tzitzis, what's not Chayav and Tzitzis, is a major machlokas Rishonim, how we paskin, whether Rashi points out that it's machlokas Rishonim, which Tanaim to paskin, like it goes back as an old machlokas, whether only Begadim of Tzemer Pishtim is Chayav and Tzitzis Midaraisa, or all Begadim are Chayav and Tzitzis Midaraisa. So either this line is assuming that anything that's defined as a beged, even outside of Tzemer Pishtim, would be Chayav and Tzitzis, or this is talking about Midarabanan, that is Chayav and Tzitzis Midarabanan. The Rama actually paskins that, let's say, cotton, something that's not wool, or not Tzemer Pishtim, is Chayav and Tzitzis Midaraisa. The Mechaber, I believe, is Machmir, but the Rama is makel, so we can wear cotton tzitzis. It's a chumrah if someone wants to have to only wear wool tzitzis, but it's a chumrah. The Rama holds that technically it's chayv and tzitzis midarais even. V'lo b'psila si'idon, you can't use psila si'idon, so that's achvina, that we said is an arava. Ravin v'abayi avakazli pipikta dematarurisa, chazinu lahanu arbasa, they saw these boats. Amrli ravin l'abayi, hainu idon ditnan, that's the idon that it's mentioned in the Mishnah, when we said lo b'psila si'idon. Amrli, he ate bi'almu, he said, what do you mean? That's just a piece of wood. So he peeled off the bark and he showed him that there was a woolly substance in between, that's what we were talking about, that you're not allowed to use as a wick. V'lobi psil samidbar, shavra. V'lobi roka shal p'nei amayim, so mayhi. What's the roka shal p'nei amayim? If you're talking about the place where the water stands still and there's a greenish substance at the top of the water, ifruchi mifruchi, and that would never last anyway, it would just fall apart. Elam Rav Papa uchmasa diarva. It means the green that's under the boat, that gets attached to the boat. Tano sifolein shal tsemer v'shal seyer. They added on also wool and hair should not be used as wicks. V'tarnidon tsemer michvetz kavitz seyer chruchim michrich. And our Tano will say, well, it won't work anyway. It's not going to light anyhow, so you don't have to add it on to any list of what you're not allowed to use. V'loba zephes, zephes zifta, shava kirusa, identifying each item. Tana adkan psul psilos. Up until this point in the Mishnah, we're talking about what you can't use as wicks. Mikan ve'elah psul shmanim. From zephes and on, though, is psul shmanim, is what you're not allowed to use as oil. So pshita, as obvious, so these are oils that we're talking about. No shavit srichle. The chiddush is about wax. I might have thought that just like you can't use wax as the fuel for the candle, you can't use it as the wick either. Therefore, it tells me that yes, that you can use it for the wick. Again, identifying what's what. The shava is the psolus of honey. To know when someone tells you they're selling shava, you should know what they're selling to you. That's very important, la'alacha, because Tosfos points out, what do you mean? You're not allowed to use shava as the fuel for the Shabbos candles? That means a Shabbos candle can't be made out of wax. But what do you mean? We always use wax for Shabbos candles. So no, we're defining a specific type of wax. When we say shava, it means psulta d'duvsha, but the pure, very pure kind of wax. It's more like an oil. It burns like an oil and burns very nicely. We're allowed to use for Shabbos candles. Okay, we'll pick up the two dots at the top tomorrow.